Welcome to Murder by Nature, where we discuss true crime, mysterious disappearances, and unsolved cases. I'm Jasmine, your host. So we're back today again for an unsolved crime. This one that is still under investigation. There's so many missing puzzle pieces, and it's just bizarre that this crime hasn't been solved yet. I will say that in this episode this week, there's a lot of footage. And I'm not going to post that footage on Instagram with the podcast update just because it is very graphic. There's a lot of security footage, sounds, audio of the murder. So you're more than welcome to go listen to that on your own. But due to the severity of that footage, I'm just going to kind of leave that out just so you guys are aware. But let's jump in and get started. Our references for today's episode are medium.com, foxhouston.com, whokilledlisa.com, medium.com again, a different article, The Killer Queen blog, unresolved.me, Insider Edition, Paranormal Category, True Crime Society blog, coldcaseexplorations.com, The Cinemaholic, Reddit, and then there's a bunch of other news articles that I have read. Kind of everything details the same exact case scenario, so I'm not going to list them here. On January 25th, 2019, in a quiet town of Tomball, Texas, a seemingly ordinary morning would turn into a nightmare when Elizabeth Liz Barrera, a 29-year-old with dreams of a blissful anniversary trip, was setting up for a last-minute garage sale when an unimaginable act of violence would unfold. Her husband Sergio would leave for work just moments before this tragedy. A black Nissan Frontier Pro 4X pulled up near the driveway. An unknown figure stepped out, approaching Elizabeth with an apparent familiarity. Little did she know, her life was about to be cut short in the most horrific manner. Elizabeth's neighbors, going about their normal routine that fateful morning, heard her friendly, "Good morning," to a mysterious visitor. But within seconds, the atmosphere shattered as gunshots echoed through a peaceful neighborhood, leaving Elizabeth lying in her driveway, gasping for help. Who was this ruthless assailant, and what could have possibly motivated such a senseless act? As we investigate this chilling case, we remind ourselves that behind every crime statistic is a life, a vibrant, hopeful individual whose potential was snuffed out too soon. Elizabeth's dreams of a happy anniversary trip and a bright future were stolen from her, leaving behind only unanswered questions and shattered dreams. Every detail counts. Every lead matters, and every voice deserves to be heard. In a quiet suburb of Tomball, Texas, lived Elizabeth Barrera, affectionately known as Liz to her friends and family. She was born Elizabeth Marie in 1989 in Elk Grove Village, Illinois, to parents Bob and Rosemary. But the family moved to Texas, where Liz would spend most of her life. At 29 years old, Liz had found her soulmate in Sergio Barrera, and the couple's love story began at a place where compassions converge, Comic-Con. This convention is a devotion to fans celebrating all things nerdy, which brought Liz and Sergio together, igniting a spark that would shape their lives forever. They quickly discovered their shared interest, with Star Wars being the central force that bonded them together. Their love was iconic, a saga, a bunch of geeky delights that only strengthened their connection. This fueled by their mutual passion, they found this joy and peace within each other's company, realizing that they had indeed found their perfect match. As their love blossomed, they welcomed a furry bundle of joy into their life. They welcomed a dog named Diesel, which I think is so cute. This adorable addition completed their little family, and Diesel's infectious charm brought boundless happiness to their home. On February 1st, 2014, surrounded by their loved ones, they exchanged their vows, promising to embark on a lifelong journey together. Their love for one another was undeniable, radiating from their smiles as they gazed into each other's eyes. Their friends and family attest to the unbreakable bond the two had, witnessing a love that was genuine, passionate, and profoundly cherished. Together, Liz and Sergio ventured into a world hand in hand with laughter and love as their constant companions. They shared their passion-fueled adventures, and every Comic-Con became an opportunity to celebrate their connection, and they immersed themselves fully into this joy of being together. Liz was a remarkable person, known for her caring, compassionate nature. Her heart was as vast as the galaxy as she found joy in brightening the lives of others. Beyond the ordinary, Liz had an extraordinary passion for two beloved universes, Star Wars and Harry Potter. She and Sergio were not just fans. They were official members of the prestigious 501st Legion, an international community dedicated to fans with exceptional talent for crafting lifelike costumes. Now, in this community, in this world, Liz wasn't just a member. She was hailed as a member TB93474, and she held a very significant role as a local chapter event coordinator. Her dedication to the group was unparalleled. She was tirelessly organizing gatherings and charity events. It was her selflessness that set her apart. Liz didn't hesitate to volunteer her own time, even on weekends or after work, to visit hospitals dressed as a Star Wars stormtrooper, aiming to bring smiles to the faces of severely ill children. Her ability to brighten even the darkest days with the spirit of the Force was a gift cherished by all that she touched. She was a self-proclaimed Harry Potter geek, embracing on the enchanted world of magic with that same enthusiasm she brought to the Star Wars galaxy. Her dedication to these fandoms reflected as a deep appreciation of the power of imagination and storytelling. See, she wasn't just that person that liked it. She dove into it, and she brought all that came with it out for everyone around her. As her friends would attest, Liz was a compassionate, loyal confidant, always ready to lend a listening ear or offer support even when she didn't feel like it was the best thing. She was always there no matter what. Her presence was like a calming force, and her infectious laughter can brighten the spirits effortlessly. Whether it was sharing a role in the joys of a friend's success or being that shoulder to cry on, Liz had the intimate ability to make everyone around her feel valued and loved. In September of 2016, Liz and Sergio purchased a home in Tomball, Texas. And this home was supposed to be a dream come true, a perfect place that they would build a life together. Liz worked as a data reporter for a company called Rosen Group, while Sergio worked with his dad installing flooring. And these two would build a beautiful life. They didn't really want for anything, and they made sure that their love and their sense of adventure came first. On the night of January 24th, 2019, Liz decided to hold a garage sale over the following 2 days, Friday, January 25th, and Saturday, January 26th. You see, Liz and Sergio were filled with excitement as they were looking forward to an upcoming trip to Orlando, Florida. Their destination was Universal Studios, and the thought of exploring the magical realm of Harry Potter was a dream that they both shared for so long. To ensure that they could fully embark on this enchantment of their vacation, Liz came up with this brilliant idea. Let's host a garage sale. This was going to happen before they left, because with all the expenses associated with the theme park, everything, you know, she wanted to make sure that they had enough funds to splurge on souvenirs or treats or anything that would make their adventure unforgettable. Now, anyone that has been to Universal Studios, either in California or Orlando, there's so many things to do in that realm. And she just wanted to make sure that whatever they wanted to do, that they could have the money to do so. During the discussion about the yard sale, Liz decided that she wasn't going to advertise the sale. She only wanted her close friends and family to be aware of it, kind of creating this intimate affair. But unknown to them, a black Nissan Frontier was driving around their home at 2 a.m. and again at 6:47 a.m. at the nearby school, and then went to another nearby street. See, this was odd because they didn't tell anyone, just the people that they knew. And Liz ended up taking that day off just because she wanted to be able to do all of this, get it going. So to anyone, she would have been at work anyways. Now, the morning of the sale, Liz found herself at Starbucks grabbing coffee to energize her for the preparations ahead, returning home at about 6 a.m., and she got right to work setting up for the sale. As Liz was getting everything situated, Sergio, though, he did have work, and he wasn't going to be taking that day off, so he wouldn't be there to help. At about 6:48 a.m., Sergio kissed his wife goodbye and got into his white van pulling away, just moments before the Nissan Frontier would make another appearance at 6:51 a.m., just 3 minutes after he left. As the truck pulls up, making a U-turn and parking behind Liz's car on the street, just a minute later, an unknown person would exit that vehicle and approach Liz in the driveway of her home. The person was dressed in what looked like a white robe or a long white dress with long hair and appeared shorter than Liz, and she was only about 5'2". Liz greets this person with a good morning, thinking that they just wanted to show up early to get the good stuff. As most people who yard sell, you want to show up right then and there to get everything that you want. The unknown individual instead pulls out a gun, shooting Liz 3 times in the chest at point blank range, and in shock, Liz falls to the ground, helpless and wounded, and the killer shoots her again. As the shooter flees the scene in their truck, Liz's neighbors were stunned. They were kind of in shock. One neighbor heard the gunshots and immediately called 911, while another witnessed the attack on their home security footage. With so many eyewitnesses and pieces of evidence, the community was hopeful that this person would be caught. As neighbors tried to help, the black truck returned to the scene of the crime at 6:55 a.m. The truck was caught on a door-by camera driving by the home. The police were on the scene only 3 minutes after the last sighting of the truck. When first responders arrived to the scene, Liz was still alive, and she was rushed to Memorial Hermit Hospital. This was the same hospital that she volunteered at to encourage and uplift those sick children. As chaos emerged within the neighborhood, people took to social media asking what happened. Why was there police there? What was going on? As most are when something like this happens, they felt shocked to hear that one of their own was shot in their driveway, in their community. Friends and family took to those same threads of the Facebook post, urging people to review their camera footage to see if anyone picked anything else up. While Liz was in the hospital fighting for her life, police quickly detained Sergio for questioning, as he was the last known person to see Liz that morning. Sergio let police know that after he left for work, he got alerts that the security system was going on, and he saw the police at his house. He started to rush home. The police asked him who knew that they were having a yard sale that day. The one thing that always struck me as odd is the yard sale was on a Friday. So again, like I said earlier, Liz had to take off work for this, which meant that the killer knew she'd be home, because any other day she would have left for work already and had not even been there. This person lurked around that whole evening, scoping out her house. Sergio let the police know that the only people that knew about the garage sale that day was some of Liz's coworkers, himself, her parents, and his mom. On January 26, 2019, Liz passed away at 1:40 p.m. In death, she gave life because that she was an organ donor. So even in this tragedy, her family and even herself set herself up to save someone. She was able to save the lives of 4 people by donating her heart, liver, and both kidneys. Her corneas were also gifted and granted someone the gift of clear sight. As the case turned into a homicide investigation, police were on full swing. Now, the police started canvassing the neighborhood, and they quickly learned that a neighbor's Ring door camera caught the whole incident on video. And this footage is public, so if you wanted to see it, you could. But I do advise to please watch only if you can handle something like that. Investigators with the Harris County Sheriff's Office were stunned when they watched the footage. In the footage, it showed the driver of a black pickup truck, an unidentified person with long hair, getting out of their vehicle and walking up to Elizabeth as she stood in her front yard, just going through the yard sale stuff. They appeared to exchange a few words, but just 8 seconds after approaching Elizabeth, the killer opened fire and then ran back to their truck, leaving the neighborhood, or so they thought. The police were able to determine from the video that the car was a dark-colored Nissan Frontier 4x4 with a Pro 4X sticker. Deputies told the reporters that they were still trying to determine the motivation behind this cold-blooded killing. The lieutenant said from the video it showed that Elizabeth appeared to have been targeted. It looked very deliberate to them. He noted that there was no shell casings that were found at the scene, and this led investigators to believing that the killer used a revolver. As in many cases where no suspects can immediately be named, there's a lot of speculation on social media and in the online communities about who the shooter could be. Although the surveillance video is kind of fuzzy, The killer had long hair, and some people thought it looked like a female. Now, people started questioning if maybe it can be a jealous wife or mistress, but there was no evidence to suggest that Sergio or Elizabeth had been involved with any other people. Now, another theory was that Elizabeth had been not the intended target, but she was shot because someone mistakenly identified her as someone. Now, I will say there's not much to that theory with the surveillance videos. There's no way with the videos that came out that that could even be a possibility. It appeared that the killer either knew when Elizabeth's husband was going to leave from work or had been watching the home that morning completely, because Sergio was seen leaving for work at 6:48 a.m. The killer's truck drove past just 4 minutes later at 6:52 a.m. The police looked into Sergio as a suspect, as most do when someone's wife is murdered. You know, most of the time, that person can inherit it, life insurance. And Sergio did, he was going to benefit about $500,000 in insurance from his wife's death. However, he was always very cooperative. He had no like signs, I would say. The police even had him take a polygraph test and he did pass. And they even went through all of his financing to see if maybe he needed the money, but he didn't. They didn't need any money that would stem from that insurance policy. So the police didn't have a motive for this. Now, I will say that there is a video of Sergio after the murder, about a week after. He's talking to, I don't want to say reporters, it was a visual being held, and the pain in that video. So I said, watch only if you're able to watch that stuff. But the pain in that video, his emotions, so raw. You can see that he truly is upset. And I feel a lot of the times when someone murders their wife, they don't have that like upsetness. So I will just put that out there. Now, Sergio did, though, offer another theory as to his wife's killer could be. According to him, his father kind of was throwing money away to several girlfriends and basically tearing down their family business. As per Sergio, Liz was concerned and confronted her father-in-law when her husband's paycheck bounced that last time. And police kind of thought maybe he could have known about the life insurance and decided to kill her for that. But they did investigate that as well. And they couldn't find anything that would tie his father to the murder. Even going through his call records, his financing, nothing. So that was quickly ruled out. On February 2nd, 2019, a week after her death, her friends and family gathered together to hold a candlelight vigil for her. Over 100 people attended the vigil, which was held in the driveway where she was killed. Since Elizabeth had been an avid Star Wars fan, some of the people that attended held glowing lightsabers instead of candles. You also can see some had wands from Harry Potter and they glowed. It was beautiful. It really was a beautiful thing to watch. Sergio noted she didn't deserve this. She deserved to live a long, happy life. I'm so glad that one of the last things I got to do was kiss her goodbye and tell her I loved her. He also says in that if he would have known that was his last moment, he would have stayed just a little bit longer, held her just a little bit longer. Sergio said he and Elizabeth had combined their love of Star Wars with the passion of helping others and did a lot of volunteer work for the local hospital, the same hospital Elizabeth was taken after she was shot. He stated, "My wife was an amazing person, a beautiful person with a kind soul. She had a big heart." Elizabeth's father, he couldn't understand why his daughter had been targeted by this killer. And he stated, "We lost a daughter, a sister, a wife, a friend, a truly inspiring young woman. The important thing to focus now is justice for Liz." On February 6, 2019, officials held a press conference to update the public on the murder investigation. Now, although they didn't have any suspects, they did have kind of a description. They stated, "The person is wearing what I'm calling go-go boots and maybe a muumuu dress and a wig possibly. He wasn't sure if the killer was male or female, but the truck had been spotted in the neighborhood the night before the murder took place and was believed to have been lurking in the area that morning, perhaps waiting for Sergio to leave for work. Detectives examined hundreds of black trucks matching this description, including rentals that were that they were unable to link to the murder, though. Now, Elizabeth's father attended this press conference and told reporters, "A coward forever changed our lives and shot an unarmed and defenseless woman. The murderer needs to pay for their actions. We believe someone can help guide law enforcement. Please come forward." The family announced that Crime Stoppers was offering a $20,000 reward for information leading to the arrest and conviction of Elizabeth's killer. Many of her Star Wars fans had contributed to the reward fund. Harris County Sheriff Ed Gonzalez said that the detectives were still unsure if the shooter had been a man or a woman, and that they were struggling to find motive for the killing. See, she was having a yard sale. And with a yard sale, you usually have cash. She did have a cash box that had $100 in it, and it was untouched, as were all of the items that she had brought outside to sell. Detectives hoped that someone would recognize the person in the video and come forward. "You have my word. We'll do everything possible to bring justice for her. But somebody out there knows something." In the months after this bizarre, tragic shooting, authorities would search the local area for clues of the truck that the offender had been driving that morning, a dark Nissan Frontier Pro 4X. They would attempt to pull footage from every camera in the radius of the crime scene, hoping to trace where the vehicle had gone after the shooting. It was even reported months later that the Harris County Sheriff's Office had been in contact with the Texas Rangers, hoping their knowledge would assist in this investigation. The lead investigator on the case said that the sheriff's office had received few tips but hadn't developed any leads that pointed to the killer's identity. "In my investigation and looking at Elizabeth and finding out a lot of information about her through different means, this woman, from what I can see, did not have a mean bone in her body. She treated everyone with respect. She was a loving person, and this definitely wasn't deserved," he stated. Months went by, and Elizabeth's killer was still out there on the loose with no one being able to identify them. On the first anniversary of the murder, Elizabeth's friends and family held a vigil in her memory. They wanted to make sure that the public hadn't forgotten about the case that was still unsolved. They also wanted to make sure no one forgot about Elizabeth. Sergio stated, "I miss her. She didn't deserve this. They ripped a piece of my life out. Every morning I wake up and think it's going to be my turn. That whoever did this was waiting and they were going to come back for me too." Time couldn't heal the pain that he felt from losing his wife. "It was the worst day of my life," he said. "It was the worst news you can possibly get. We should be talking about planning our next anniversary trip. We should still be together." He sold the home that he ended up sharing with Elizabeth because he wasn't able to get past the fact that she had been killed in their driveway. The one thing that I want to kind of highlight here, if you're listening, she was doing the garage sale for an anniversary trip. They were going to Orlando. They were going to go see Harry Potter. And she was murdered just a few days shy of their wedding anniversary. They were going to be married for 5 years that year. And that's something that always will be a reminder for him. Every time this anniversary comes up, it comes with tragedy. And I think in that, we can all agree that him selling this home wasn't anything bad that the internet was trying to make it out to be. It was just so much grief. And if you know grief, just these little things, these little reminders can just eat away at you. In August of 2019, approximately 6 months after Elizabeth's murder, so we're going to back up a minute, 6 months after her murder, it would have been reported that investigators were awaiting the results of a warrant. According to Elizabeth's father, this would possibly break the case. But in January of 2020, the first anniversary of the shooting, the results of the warrant were still pending. Investigators would not kind of indulge in the aspects of the investigation that pertain to the warrant, but many believe that this may have been related to cell phone location data, perhaps attempting to track who had been in the area at that time of the shooting. But also, I found it very, bothersome that they have a warrant. Obviously, if they are trying to find data or anything, they would have a person. And they also have footage from local traffic cameras. And this all took so long to analyze, and they still didn't have someone. So I think that kind of made it very frustrating for the family as they go through this visual for the 1-year anniversary. They get this news about a warrant. And then when the first anniversary comes about, there's still nothing from this warrant. Now, there was kind of like a statement made from the detective, Michael Ritchie, about the warrant. He stated that he feels the result of the warrant would be critical in the investigation and most likely expose a suspect and who is responsible for this. Over the years since her murder, detectives would follow up on every lead that they received, and they knew a little bit more that they did than they did maybe the morning that she was killed. Detective Ritchie told reporters, "I do believe that more than one person was involved in this, and I do believe that some people out there know more than what they're telling on, that they have a suspicion that it may be someone that they know, that someone they know may be involved with this." He noted that there was still a $20,000 reward for information, and he was hopeful that someone would come forward and do the right thing. And I think that's kind of hard because they're going off of all of this information, all of the security cameras, kind of everything. There's so much information, but they still have nothing. And they're just hoping and praying that someone will come forward. Another year passed without any answers for Elizabeth's family. On the second anniversary of the murder, police released the doorbell footage from Elizabeth's home that captured the moment she was killed. And again, I'm just going to preface this that if you go and listen to that footage, it's a sound that I can't get out of my head after listening to it. It's not for the faint of heart. Now, in the footage, you couldn't actually see the shooting taking place, not like the neighbor's footage, but the camera did catch the killer's car as it passed by the house before it parked, and Detective Wallace Wyatt told reporters that the doorbell camera audio highlighted just how brutal the crime was. Lisa reacts. She's scared. They're not sure about what is said by the suspect, but you can hear Lisa talking, and then you can hear like a... And then you hear the shots. Shoots her 3 times. You hear the screams. She falls to the ground. And from that, you can just see how horrible, calculated, premeditated, and pitiless this murderer did. Because after that, from the camera footage from the neighbor and in line with this camera footage, you can hear and see the murderer step over her and shoot her again in the head. The shooter then runs back to their pickup truck, which had been left running during this time. So I think that's something that they really wanted to take into consideration, is this was premeditated. This was calculated. This was something that was planned. They literally drive down the street, flip around, come back, go up, altercation, shots, run back to a still running truck and take off. The truck can be seen passing the house as if it was going to exit the subdivision, but then 2 minutes later it passes by again and the doorbell camera picks it up once more. It is apparent that the shooter wanted to make sure that Elizabeth was dead. Detective Wyatt had a message for the killer at that press conference. "I hope you can sleep at night, and I hope you know that we are never going to stop looking for Liz's murder. There's no time limit on this case." He hoped that releasing the video footage and the audio from the doorbell camera, that this would push people to come forward. "We're hoping that someone will see this. Hopefully they have a heavy heart and know someone, and they know who did this, and they come back and tell us what they know." Elizabeth's father said that he was horrified by how calculated the killer had to have been. "Something extraordinary evil reached out and intentionally murdered my daughter. This was not a robbery. This was not a gang initiation. This was somebody that wanted to kill my daughter and did it. That's crazy. That's unimaginable." Now, Elizabeth's mother never really spoke out to the public. She was devastated by her daughter's death, and rightfully so. And she wouldn't speak to them until March of 2021. She told reporters, "Maybe I can reach out to someone who knows something and they can see my pain and will actually come forward. We don't know who did this. We don't know why they did it." And she begged for the public's help in identifying her daughter's killer. The police were trying to do anything and everything to bring justice for Liz, but without any leads, the case turned cold. As the third anniversary of the crime approached, Elizabeth's loved ones announced the reward for information, which has been raised to about $50,000. And this was in 2023, I believe it was, from the reports. At the press conference, Robert had a message for his daughter's killer, stating that the family was never going to give up justice. They were never going to give up their fight. They were going to continue to fight for her. In January of 2023, Sergio told reporters that he knew that there were some people who believed that he somehow had been involved in his wife's murder, but he insisted that he had nothing to do with it. I know people immediately say it was the husband that did it. And that's true. That's what they all say. I understand that. But you had to have known Liz and I. You had to see us. I still love her to this day. Liz was amazing. It was a fairy tale that we had together. Some of the speculation, which was caused by the fact that Sergio ended up remarrying a couple years after Elizabeth died, it is said that he was remarried within 2 years, I think an article said, and that's where kind of all of this accusation came out. But he pointed that he met his current wife more than a year after the murder. She had recently lost her sister, and the two of them bonded over their shared feelings of grief. Sergio had said that he and his current wife were always open to communicating with investigators. They were cooperative, and they both did a polygraph, and they both passed. Liz's father spoke out on these allegations and stated that Sergio and his daughter had been deeply in love, and there was no signs of trouble in their relationship. They were two wonderful people, and when they were together, they were so much better. Rose wondered if someone had been envious of her daughter. Liz was such a beautiful person, a kind person. Maybe someone was jealous of her. Maybe they were jealous of the relationship she had. As of May 2023, detectives continue to investigate Elizabeth's murder, but admit that they don't have any suspects. Detective White hopes that someone will eventually recognize the person in the surveillance video and contact investigators. Everyone is still a suspect until they find out who it is. The tragedy that fell for Liz's family, her taken from her home in a senseless act of violence, shook the community to its core. The loss of such a vibrant, caring soul left a void that could never be filled. Yet, the memory of Liz still lives on, not only through her loving family, but through the countless lives she touched. She donated so much to people that wouldn't have had that, or maybe weren't going to find that anytime soon. And I think that's something that her family really tries to hold on to. Liz's story serves as a reminder to cherish each moment and to embrace our passions wholeheartedly. She showed us that the meaningful connections are forged through kindness and selflessness, and the single act of compassion has the power to ripple through eternity. As we remember Elizabeth Liz Barraza, we honor her legacy by striving to be like her, to be caring, inspiring, and unafraid to embrace our passions. Just as she embraced the force and the magic of Hogwarts, let her light guide us as we go through this journey of life, making the world a better place, one smile at a time. Now, my thoughts on this case. This case was hard for me. Just with this human, just as a person, a lot of her characteristics resemble myself in a way. And with anyone listening to this, or anyone that knows this story, having a yard sale, a garage sale, selling things to people you don't know is such a normal process. I just did it today. Literally, I just did it right before this. It's such a normal thing that we do. We have things, we sell things. And for someone's life to be brutally taken, and not just taken in a way that, oh, this person got mad, or I cut this person off and they did this, which still, I mean, shouldn't matter. This person stalked her through the whole evening. You can see them on surveillance footage around the neighborhood. You can see them park, I think, at about like 3 a.m. at a local school and wait there until the morning. You just see this person scouting out this amazing woman, as everyone described her, to walk into her yard. And you just see her park, jump out, walk up, say something, and shoot her and walk away. And it has now been 4 years this last January. We're coming up on 5 that this has happened, and her case still remains unsolved, which just kind of shakes me to my core. Now, with the video evidence, the security footage, there's a lot of it. The cameras were in the area, the warrant. The police have an idea of who this is. They have an idea of who did it. That's my opinion. I know after I've watched all of the footage, I've read all the articles, everything. And as stated in this episode, this killer was calculated, took steps to not get caught, at least not get convicted. I really think the police know who this is. To me, this person is close with the family. Maybe they knew the family and they made the decision to drive by, flip around, block themselves from the Ring camera. And what got me is with the camera, with how it's set up, you wouldn't be able to see that from the street. So this person literally knew who these people were. They've been to that home before. And that, I think, is the scariest part, is if that happened to someone I know, I don't think I'd be able to trust anyone around. Because when you look at all the evidence and everything that was put together, when you look at the fact that she barely took off work to do this a few days prior, someone knew she was home. She didn't advertise it on social media. Her and her husband didn't even put the signs up until that morning. And this person was already driving around at 2 o'clock the morning before. When you see that they came 4 minutes after her husband left, that shakes you to your core. Because you know whoever the killer is infiltrated into that family. That brings us to the end of this episode. As always, thank you for listening to Murder by Nature. If you enjoyed our show, please rate us and review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any streaming platform that you're currently on. And be sure to come back for our next episode. Until then, I am your host. Don't forget to stay safe. Don't get murdered or murder people, you lovely humans.